The following is a message of First Baptist Richardson. For more information, please visit fbcr.org.
Okay, so we're supposed to talk about prayer, which we will, but we're going to change it up just a little bit. So, we talked about prayer a lot in this service, and we pray a lot in this service, and so I just want to make that really clear why we do that, because we've been talking for a few weeks now about how do you and I pursue Jesus Christ? Like, practically, what does that look like to passionately pursue the Lord? And so there's just no way to do that without prayer. Like you have to connect yourself to God. Like, if I were to ask you how you pursue your wife or how you pursue a friend, like, at some level, there is a lot of time spent talking to, hanging out with, where you just give your heart to that person, that person gives their heart to you. And so that's what prayer is. It's this way that we are just super vulnerable before the Lord. And so prayer, to me, is one of those things that can be greatly misunderstood, and there is a lot of mystery around it, right? Like, does God answer every prayer? Does he not? What happens if he says no? Why does he say no to certain things and yes to others? And so I'm not going to make all of that make sense. There's a component in which prayer will always be this mystical kind of thing that happens, and then this mystery where we can't make sense of all of it. But there's still a ton of truths that we can know within prayer. And so I could be dead wrong this morning, but here's what I'm hoping to happen in the next 20 minutes is that God would just start to set us free and transform our hearts. And so if you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6, and I'm just going to spew some truth and some Bible in regards to prayer, and then we're just going to go to God and ask him to do what only he can do. So Matthew chapter 6, as you turn there, let me pray. Father, I just pray for great discernment in this space, that we would not try to stir you to do something or to submit your will to ours, but that we would be completely open to you doing whatever it is that you want to do in us this morning. So maybe selfishly, I don't know, but I just claim the promises of your word, and so I just ask God that you would make your name holy in our hearts individually and then in us corporately. I pray that the magnitude and immensity of your kingdom would come this morning on earth as it is in heaven, that you would make us a people who don't just accept the forgiveness of God, but we give forgiveness out, that you would provide for us what we need today and tomorrow, and that you would deliver us from evil. And I pray all of this in your son's name. Amen. So maybe some of this will land, maybe it will not. We're not going to read too much, but I want you to look at Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 6. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." And so look at me. Here's the first thing. I know when it comes to prayer, like, it gets really goofy because we kind of think, man, it's just kind of throwing requests out to God and we're not sure what he's going to do with it. And some of us even think, not only is it random, but sometimes we think prayer is really this time where you go to God, but God's heart might actually be turned away from you. Like he may not even want to answer you. He might be hard-hearted towards you because of your sin or because of whatever. And so I just love this verse. So can this verse just sink into your soul for a second? As much as there is all kinds of mystery surrounding prayer, can I tell you what is not mysterious according to this verse? That God in heaven, his heart is turned towards you in prayer, and he wants to reward you. So you cannot come to God in prayer and say, God must be against me. God wants to withhold from me. God does not want to bless me. That's not what this text is saying. In fact, if you were to go on from here, he's going to say, God already knows what you have need of before you ask. Now, why does he tell you that? Because he wants you to know that if I already know what you need before you ask, then you are not praying to make me known. You're praying because I just want to hear you and know you, right? Like, why would God say, come and pray to me, even though I already know what you need and what you're going to ask? Why would he do that? Because already he's saying, I'm for you. I want you to come to me. I want to pray. And so can you please write this down and grain it on your heart? This is what you need to know. When it comes to prayer, you and I should have a confidence that God, one, he hears us, and two, he wants to reward us, and he will reward our prayers. He will. He doesn't say I might. He doesn't say if everything goes well. He doesn't say if you ask right. He says he will. Now, let's be honest. Some of you, when you hear that, you're thinking, I don't think you can say that, Matt. What do you mean he will? You can't guarantee me he will. So first, can I just beg and plead for a second? Why will you put more faith in your rationalization of your experience than in the Word? Does the Word not say, like, am I making that up? What does it say? Does it not say he will reward you? So then I'm not just making that up to make you feel good, right? I'm just claiming the promises of God. He will reward you. He will. It is a truth. It is a promise to be claimed. Now, I know that you have experience that says, but he didn't reward my prayer. Now, let's just chat for a second. How do you know he didn't reward you? Because he does not say he will do what you ask him. It doesn't say that. He didn't promise that he's always going to say yes to your exact prayer. He promised he would reward you in prayer. He didn't qualify the reward as doing exactly what you wanted when you wanted. Come on. Amen. It's okay, right? See, so you and I, what really happens is we wrestle with God in prayer because we're trying to bend God's will to ours. It doesn't work like that. Prayer is, yes, I make known to him, I'm vulnerable, I ask deeply. But if it doesn't happen the way I think it should happen, it doesn't mean he's not for me. It doesn't mean he will not reward me. It doesn't mean he will not give me something good. Now, we're going to deviate from the screen, so you're going to just have to read your Bible or listen to me read this, because the rest of these verses are not there. Here's what I want you to see. Look over in Matthew 7. And we're going to pick it up in verse 9. It says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give, listen to this word, good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So here's what I want you to hear me say. Here's a promise that you can claim. Not only will God reward you, but here is how he qualifies his reward. It will be good for you. It will be good for you. So, and this is not Christianese clichéness. This is the word of God. So if God answers you in a way that isn't exactly what you wanted, when you wanted, you can still rest confidently that it's good for you. It was good that he might have said no to that. It was good that he might have said, hold on, let's wait, let's not do that yet. That it's good for you. Now, how can it be good? Because I know all of us in this room, whether we would admit this or not, all of us think, what? I know what's best for me. I know more for me than God knows for me, right? I know it's good. I know it would have been good for me for God to answer that prayer for my $1 million. Like, I wanted to win the $1 billion lotto last week, right? How many of you bought a lotto ticket? Don't lie. Hey, right? How many of you kind of threw up a prayer, like not like serious, like you were fasting, but you kind of in your heart were like, God, you know, if you did this, that'd be cool, right? So see, we think we know better. But can I just quote you these verses, Ephesians 3? He says, now God can do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. You know what's funny to me about that? Is we always quote that like he's going to give us something better. So like I asked for 10,000, he's going to give me 1 million, right? Because like I didn't even imagine that. But can I tell you this? The same truth that applies that way also applies in reverse. Now sometimes he says no. Why? Because you can't even imagine what he's doing. He sees a bigger picture than you do. And if you were to see his picture, you would say, oh, you're right. He should have said no to that. So what am I trying to get at? God's heart is for you. It is turned towards you. He wants to reward you, yes. And every reward is ultimately good for you. It is good for you. And if you don't believe that, your problem is with the Word of God. And you have to let the word of God trump your experience. I think we got time for one more. I want you to look over at Luke chapter 11. Here's my hope. Here's all I want to convince you of by the Spirit of God this morning. Is that prayer is a necessity for you and I if he's going to change us. But part of how he's going to change us is you and I, we have to go to him and we have to believe that he hears us and he wants what is best and what is good for us. Because see, I think some of us, we don't pray and ask God to do certain things because we're afraid if he says no, it's going to shatter our faith. If he says no, then I have to be confronted with he may not love me or like me. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. And so I want you to be free from the fear of asking God for something because you're afraid he's going to say no. And I want to convince you that his heart is for you. It is turned towards you. He will reward you. That is a promise. And whatever he gives you, it is good. It is good. So this is kind of the same, for lack of a better term, it's the same context where Jesus is praying. His disciples come to him and say, hey, teach me to pray. He starts to quote the Lord's Prayer, what we know as the Lord's Prayer. And then I want you to see this. I'm debating where to start. Let's look at this. Let's start in verse 5. We're going to read a lot. Luke chapter 11, verse 5 says this. Speaking to his disciples, then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So follow his logic. He's making a point about his attitude towards you and I with prayer. And so he gives this example where he says, hey, you have a friend. Some guy comes to your house late at night. You've already tucked your kids in bed. Y'all are down for the night. The house is locked. And your friend beats on the door and says, hey, I have a guest in my house. They need food. I don't have any. Can I borrow it from you? And the guy says no. But because his friend keeps asking, eventually the guy answers yes. So what you need to hear is Jesus is giving an illustration where there are a friendship by which someone didn't want to do something, but the guy eventually gave in because of persistence. It'll make more sense here in a second. Keep going. So then look at verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Now real quick, does that not sound like promises? Is that not promises? Ask and what happens? You'll receive. Seek and what happens? Right? Knock and what happens? Does he say it might? No, it's a promise. Now how can he make that promise? Because see, you and I, once again, we're like, well, I'm pretty sure I asked and it didn't happen. I'm pretty sure I saw it and I didn't get it. I'm pretty sure I knocked. Well, the idea here is that there's this immediacy of it. There's this consistency of it where I continue to ask. I continue to seek. I continue to knock. And so I just want to challenge real quick. Just because you asked one time and God didn't answer that, that doesn't mean he's failing in his promises. The idea is that you keep asking and that you keep seeking and you keep knocking and he will at some point give you those things. And if he doesn't give you those things, he will give you things that are still good, right? It's all of this combined. Keep going. Verse 11, which of you fathers, does this sound familiar? If your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead. Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So watch his progression. He starts with a relationship of friends, and he ends with a relationship of father and son. The friend was reluctant to give him something, but because of his persistence, he did. So God eventually gets to this idea of father, son, and he says, how much more than a friend does a father have his heart turned towards his son? How much more than a friend does the father want to bless and give what is good to his son? Now you and I, we get that. So think about your relationships, right? Even if you had a bad childhood and bad parents, like, you can still wrap your mind around the fact that a good father, a good mother, like, they're for their kid. They want to bless their kid. They want their kid to get not just what they want, but more than what they want, right? And so he compares it to you and I. He says, if you... you who is not incredibly good, you who are capable of such evils, but yet you are still able to give good things, then how much more me who is perfect and good through and through, how much more can I give good things? And so what is he doing? He's challenging our theology of how good do you think God is? How good do you think God is? How much is his heart turned towards you? And then I love what he says. The first time when he explained it, he said that God gives what is good. And the second time he says he gives his Holy Spirit. Are those things in contradiction? No. He's saying that ultimately every good gift comes from my Spirit, from the Holy Spirit. What better thing could you want than my Holy Spirit? And all that he asked, did we not just begin? I mean, it didn't sound like that maybe, but did we not just pray and ultimately ask this? God, where I have fear, would you give me the Holy Spirit to replace that with your Spirit peace? Right? So in other words, a lot of times the good things we're asking, those things come because of his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does what? He brings joy. He brings peace. He brings goodness and righteousness and justice and all of these things. So what's the point? Why are we talking about all of this? If I could plead with God's people, in one specific way, it would be this, that you and I, if we're going to passionately pursue Jesus, we have to get to the place where we don't play games with Jesus, where we bring the realness of our heart, the realness of our struggles, the deep things in us to God, and then we ask him to free us from those things. We ask him to heal us from those things. We ask him to transform us from those things. And then there has to be this consistency. Sometimes God, in an instant, changes everything. And sometimes he does it over time. And sometimes in an instant, he changes everything, but yet you have to continue to pursue that truth. You have to continue to pursue him. So I just want to be really honest with you. Some of you, you walk in fear and shame and anxiety and sin and lust and all kinds of things. Part of the reason why you walk in those things is you are not asking God to free you, and you're not believing that he even wants to. That's number one. Some of you, you're walking in shame and fear and all kinds of messed up stuff emotionally and physically. You're walking in sin and rebellion, partly because you have not been honest with God that that's who you are and you want him to take it. So you haven't even asked. Or you haven't believed that he would or that he wants to. That's number one. And number two, some of you, you've just asked, but you haven't continued in truth, right? Like, the beauty of our faith is, yes, God will at times do some things instantaneously, but a lot of times it's in the pursuit. So he wants to take those lies that you and I believe, he wants to take those lifestyles and change them by renewing our mind, by getting himself inside of us, which means you have to dwell on his truth. You have to read his truth. You have to memorize his truth. You have to continue to pursue a relationship with him and intimacy with him. So some of you, you're not walking in the freedom Jesus wants you to walk in because you're not actually pursuing him and the truth. You let it be this one-time prayer, but you don't let it be the journey. You don't let it be the discipleship. Does that make sense? So let me give you a practical example. So for me, you've heard me talk about this before. So for me, when God needed to break apart and transform just kind of just some sexual pervertedness in my heart, what it took was two things. One is I had to pray and ask God to do that. But then when he did, he took the chains off. He made me free. But listen to how free he made me. God made me so free, I could run back to the very thing he freed me from. So it's not enough for me just to be set free. I have to continue in that freedom by putting up boundaries, by seeking truth, by being obedient to him. So practical, real-life example. When he set me free from certain lust and things, that meant I needed to now go and continue to obey his word. When he says, hey, if something causes you to sin, cut it off. So for me, right, like, I used to get made fun of because I would carry like one of those old school flip phones, And why I did that was because I needed to safeguard my heart and not give me access to things I shouldn't be looking at. And so the practicality was me continuing in the truth was to obey God and seek, what would you have me do? Yes, I'm free, but I have to continue to walk that out by obeying you on a practical level. Does that make sense? So it's not enough just to say, God, free me from this. Now I have to pursue that freedom in Christ. And when he tells me to obey something, I do it. When he tells me to put some safeguard in my life, I do it. Right? Because this is how free he makes us. You're so free that you can run back to the very thing he freed us from. He can free you from anxiety in this moment, and then you can go back to it when you leave. He can free you from fear in this moment, and you can go back to it when you leave. He can free you from lust, from sin, from anything, and you can go back to it when you leave. So, here's how I want to end this morning. Unfortunately, we don't have as much time as I wish we did. So I just want to give you a few minutes of space. We won't do this long. I'm not going to ask anyone to stand up, but I want to give you a few minutes of space. What do you need God to reward you with? What do you need God to reward you with? Is there a sin struggle that you have? Is there shame or condemnation, anxiety, fear? And sometimes it's even good things like man, I just don't long for Jesus like I think I should. I don't crave his word like I think I should. So do you need him to just put an insatiable desire for his word inside of you? Like, what do you really need from him? And I want you to just be really real and honest before him in prayer and ask him to give you that or to take that from you. And then I want you to go on that journey with him. Don't let it be a momentary thing where you go back to the same thing he freed you from. Does that make sense? So I'm going to give you some time. The band's going to come up and play just so there's music in the background. And so I want you just to pray and ask God. And then at some point I'll come up here and close out our time in prayer. But just know that his heart is turned towards you. He wants to reward you and answer your prayer. So Father, would you hear our prayers as we come before you? Would you open our eyes and our hearts to see and hear you? Would you do what only you can do in us? By your Spirit, I pray. Amen. Take a couple minutes and pray. God, I pray that as we go from here, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would continue to love and woo and guide that what you started would not end, and then what maybe didn't get started in us this morning as we leave here, that you would just continue to blow that up and set that aflame in our hearts. Thank you that you are good to us, that even when you say no, it's okay, it's good, that you want to bless us, but not because it's really even about us, but because that's how you're honored, that's how you're glorified, that's how you change us, because you have great love for us. That's ultimately how we go out and minister to the world, that we get to be little walking testimonies of how you have changed lives. And if you can change me, if you can change us, then you can change them. So Lord, we love you. We pray all of this in your Son's name. Amen.